have good news. The world is in good hands with this next generation. And watching them lead worship. Yeah. Watching them lead worship, watching them teach and share. I am overwhelmed with emotion sometimes. And so we lead the high school group together. First and third, we meet on the first and third Sundays of the week. And we're just honored to have the opportunity to love, lead, and serve your students.
Really, the heart behind first and third, what we're hoping to accomplish there is to give students the opportunity to, we use this term, dig their own well. And the idea behind that is just that we are teaching them how to create a relationship with the Lord, how to practice, to read in the Word, to worship, to be in community and really develop that relationship with God. Because right now in school, when they're in their classroom or when they go to college, they can't live off of the faith of their youth pastor. They can't live off of the faith of Sunday mornings or their parents. And so that's really our heart behind first and third, is to help them dig their own wells. There's a verse in Philippians 3:12. It says, "Not that I have obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me." So this idea that they are just taking hold and making their faith their own. So it's such a privilege and an honor to worship with your kids, to learn the scripture with your kids, and to have deep conversations about the things that they're encountering every day.
So this morning we're giving a few of our students the opportunity to share with you all. And frankly, if we would have had time to allow all of them to share, we would have. And I know that it would have been amazing. But for time constraints, obviously, we can't do that. And so we prayed, and there were a few students that were highlighted. And so, Ireland, if you'd be willing to come up. Ireland is going to be sharing with you all today. Let's give it up for Ireland.
Let's give a big round of applause for Ireland.
You guys are in for a treat. She's awesome. So one more time, let's give it up for Ireland.
Good morning, my name is Ireland. I'm a junior at Baldwin High School, and I'm super excited just to be here and talk to you guys today and share. I want to thank Pastor Thomas and just the executive team for giving me the opportunity to do this, and all of my spiritual leaders for just raising me up and teaching me and listening to me and just making me confident enough to give you guys a message today. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about my testimony and how I went from just a general knowledge of God and who he is to a more personal knowledge of who he is to me. And so this kind of, the background behind this is that I grew up in a Christian household. I've always known that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for my sins, but I didn't really know how to apply that or how to I didn't understand what that really meant and how that could change my life. And so that shallow faith and understanding kind of just followed me throughout my middle school and into my first year of high school. I joined cross country the fall of my freshman year, and as I grew in success in that, a lot of struggles kind of arose, and I had a lot of setbacks. And so the first physical setback I had was I developed exercise-induced asthma, which in running, it's pretty important to breathe. So, that might be helpful. So it just really became a big thing that kind of stopped me from progressing and being able to recover from hard workouts or races. And then the second thing that I kind of felt an attack was my spiritual or my mental side. I started to interpret encouragement and encouragement and support as pressure or expectation. And so that really burdened me, and it kind of took the joy out of what I was doing. And it kind of led to like this fear of failure and a fear of man, because I wanted to make the people that loved me proud of what I was doing. And when I felt like I wasn't doing what I needed to be or reaching their expectation, I felt really burdened and I felt kind of insignificant and worthless. And so I know that there are people here today that are dealing with things like that. And I just want to encourage you that God says you are greater. He says that you are more. In Matthew 10, 29 through 31, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." I feel like God wants to just highlight to someone in this room that you are worth more than your success. You are worth more than your failures. You are worth more than the burdens that you face and the pressures that you face. The things that you carry, because the enemy is going to try to demean you and make you feel powerless and make you feel insignificant and worthless. But you are a child of the Most High God, and He says you are worth something. He says you are worth more. And so God kind of taught me this. He encountered me at Bold 23, which is the conference that the high schoolers go to during the summer. And I walked into that room just knowing that if there was space for pressure and fear and insignificance, then there was surely enough room for Jesus Christ in my life. So I walked into that room and I knew that I needed to give everything to God at His feet. So I did. I went to Bold Conference. I got on the ground, a puddle of tears on the ground, and God met me in the midst of my challenge, in the midst of my struggle. And I cannot even describe the feeling that I felt when I got up from the ground. I was freed. I can't even describe it. I felt amazing. I felt like everything that I was facing was just lifted off my shoulders. And so I want to just challenge you into whatever setback is in your life to invite God into that, because He's going to make a difference. There's something powerful that happens when you choose to give God that thing. Like, He's always there for you, but when you decide to be the person that gives it to Him, He's gonna do something powerful. So if there's room for the fears and anxieties and the chaos and the darkness of this world in your life, there's surely enough room for Jesus Christ in your life. And I did not keep my encounter with God at Bold Conference. I went home and I heard from God. My relationship with God was deeper than it's ever been. And I was intercessing for someone that I really loved in my life and in my room one night, with music on, and the song Yahweh by Elevation Worship came on. And I immediately knew that song and that name would become like my testimony and my anthem. If you didn't know, it's YHWH, and it's one of God's many names. He introduces it to Moses in Exodus 3. And it just means like, I am who I am, or you can even say that in your breath. So your inhale is YH and your exhale is WH. And so since I had asthma, he came to me and just told me that I needed to like really embrace that word. And so I started to write Yahweh on my wrist during my races, and I actually breathed it while I raced so that I could have my eyes set on God, and that He would become my strength and my confidence during my races. And I feel like life is kind of like a race. You might not be able to kind of relate to racing because most of you are out of high school, but sorry. But life is kind of like a race. You go through things, you have highs, you have lows. You sometimes think you're not gonna make it to the finish line, and sometimes you think you're gonna have a huge victory, and sometimes you do. You can be excited, exhausted, really stressed, confident, whatever. And in Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." And so I did that. I set my eyes on God during my races, and the confidence that I felt at the line that I didn't feel before was just massive. The difference was massive. And so I did that. I dedicated what I did to Him, and He just transformed not even just my mental side, but also my physical side. I improved so much, and I did things my sophomore year that I didn't even think I would accomplish in my senior year. So Dedicate all that you do to him, because he's not only going to establish your plans, but he's going to make them significantly better than you could have thought for yourself. So as great as that would have been to just end the story there, this past spring, my asthma got really bad. I was on like medications, steroids, inhalation powders. I had humidifier. I did like breathing exercises, and none of it worked. I had to skip races. I had to skip practices. I was literally like staying up at night. I couldn't fall asleep. And there was just no improvement from all of that that I was doing to try to make it better. And so at the state track meet, I ran 3 races there, and that was really hard. I could not recover from the first race, and I was coughing just the whole time, and it made it a big barrier for that. So that was something that really was just hard mentally and physically just to do. But 3 weeks later, Bold 2024 was there, and I had a time trial that morning for the mile. I ran my mile, and I did not cough once after it, which is really unheard of after a year and a half of having asthma. And so I went to Bold 2024. I was prayed over, people intercessed and prophesied over just my heart and my lungs. And I have raced since then. I had a 15-minute time trial like 3 weeks after. I didn't cough once. I didn't even take my inhaler. I raced 2 weeks ago. I didn't cough once, didn't take my inhaler. And I raced yesterday. And I have a little bit of a cold right now. So I did cough a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But God has healed me. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I've been healed. And so I'm just in awe of his goodness and his just grace to me. I was asked when I was preparing this by Elizabeth, what captivates me about Jesus? And I'm in awe of his goodness and his faithfulness. He's become my rest. He's become just my comfort, my peace, my hope for tomorrow. He's the reason that my dreams are coming true. He's literally the breath of life to me. I would not be able to do what I do if it wasn't for him. And so I'm just in awe of him. I'm in awe of his goodness. I'm in awe that by the fact that I can sow into him at 16 years old, that I'm sowing into something that will be relevant for the rest of my life and the rest of eternity. So I just wanna pray over you guys and just ask God that he would become those things to you and he would become personal to you. So just bow your heads with me. God, I pray and I thank you for all that you do and all that you will do. May you move in our hearts and become personal to us. Move into our situations and meet us in the seasons of struggle and success. Help us to put our trust and our hope in you. May we find rest and freedom at your feet. In your name, amen. Thank you, guys.
Great job. Come on, one more time. Let's give it up for Ireland. So here's a question. What were you doing when you were 16 in high school? So next up, Sammy, go ahead and come on up. Let's hear it for Sammy Pittman. Sammy is a fellow classmate of Ireland at Baldwin, and we're proud of her as well. So here you go.
Good morning. I don't think my hands have ever been this sweaty in my entire life. I just want to start. Oh, yeah, I'm Sammy Pittman. I'm also a junior at Baldwin. I want to start by saying how blessed I am to have this opportunity. And I also want to thank everyone who's guided me spiritually and led me to where I am today, especially those who helped me prepare this message. I couldn't have done it without you guys. So as I started to sit with the Lord and ask him what I should talk about today, I got an answer that was very unexpected. And I was hesitant because it's something that I've walked through very recently. But now, today, I realize how this message has helped me grow and heal through that season. And I'm blessed because I know that the same thing is true for somebody here today. So what I want to talk about is difficult transition and how to deal with it. And by difficult transition, I mean separation or just simply leaving the old to go after something new. I like to think of it as when God either calls you to remove yourself from a table or he removes you from a table that you still want to sit at. And one thing we do know is that sometimes when God removes you from a table, it's so that you can sit at his. The table can either be a place, a job, position, title, person, etc. And no matter what you've been removed from, the most important thing to get you through is your faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "Your faith is far more precious than mere gold." And I think it's important to use that new season of healing or growth to deepen your faith. So today I have three ways to go about that difficult transition or separation. And the first one is getting intentional and surrendered in your prayer life. God wants to know the desires of your heart. He wants to know what you want. And for a long time, I didn't really realize that. I felt like my prayer time with him had to be very formal. I don't know why, it kind of sounds silly that I say it, but now I realize that without really telling God the desires of your heart, your prayer time can become unintentional, where it's just, thank you for this, blah, 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 you know? So 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Always be joyful, pray continually, and be thankful for all circumstances." For me, I feel like sometimes I try to make excuses in my season of old to new and run back to what God called me out of. And one way that I steer away from that is get very specific in my prayer. "Lord, if this isn't for me now or in the future, I pray that you remove the desire from my heart." And I think one of the reasons God separates you is so that he can teach you to know his voice clearly. And so I wait in that season, I pray, and I wait for confirmation from the Lord. My second reason, getting surrendered in your prayer life just means letting God close the wrong doors, and you have to trust him that those doors are supposed to be closed and he will take care of you. My second reason is learning how to praise him even when you don't feel it, which is something I've learned more recently. I'm also reminded by the song we just sang, "My Praise is a Weapon," which for a long time I struggled with praise. Like even during worship on every Sunday, sometimes I just wouldn't be in it. But it's hard to obey that season of removal. It's hard to obey God's call when he wants you to leave that thing. Obviously, we still want it. And it's easy to get frustrated and let all those emotions come in. And that makes it really hard to praise the Lord for all the good that he's done. But while, yes, your emotions are very important and validated, they don't rule your life and they never change who God is. Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So again, praising him no matter what has happened, good or bad. I learned how to praise God when I don't feel it recently at Bold Conference 2024. I came very expectant, and I wanted a radical moment with God, which is good, but even on night one, I got frustrated because I wasn't getting that moment. And I was just searching for it, longing for it, and I wasn't really connecting with the sermons. I wasn't connecting in worship. And I was talking to Ireland about it in our room that night, and she told me, "Maybe he's not giving us that moment we want because he doesn't want us to leave here satisfied." And that reminded me that I'm still, like, the radical moments with God aren't only accessible at Bold Conference. They're accessible at Rev City. They're accessible on my bedroom floor. They're accessible in my car. They're accessible wherever you are. The Lord will meet you wherever you need him to meet you. And even though I wasn't necessarily feeling God in that moment, I had thanks because I knew that I have radical moments with God in my future and I had radical moments with God in my past, that he's still working, he's going to do amazing work, and he's done amazing work. So even though I don't necessarily feel him now, I can still praise him for what he has done and what he will do. My third reason, third way to go about the difficult transition is leaning into God. And one way that helps me really lean into God is realizing that he is your father. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me all who are weary and I will give you rest." And I just, we rely on our own strength a lot. And that's just your reminder that you lean on the Lord and he will give you rest. Also, 2 Timothy 4:17 says, "But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength." So if you rely on him, he will give you rest and strength. So again, just talk to him about how you feel. He will give you strength, and don't rely on your own. Trust in him. To connect and talk about Bold again, Bold Conference 2023, I had this moment in worship and they were singing a song and the lyrics were, "Come like a kid just running to the Father." And I got this vision and I still get it now. It's just of me just curled up sitting in Jesus's lap and I'm feeling the scars in his hands. That's like my wow moment, like you did this for me. And his hands are big, at least for me, they're big because I have pretty little hands, but they're big and warm and rough. And it's just like, just the fatherly love. Like it's that simple. But especially for me, growing up with an absent father figure in my life, I never knew that that void could be filled. And so I think about that a lot whenever I am stressed and I just am trying to rely on myself. I just remember that I just have to sit with my Father and that he'll give me that strength and that comfort. And because of my faith, I know that I can always go and sit with my comforter. So none of these things, these three ways, are possible without your faith. And I encourage you, whatever you're going through, get intentional. Dive into the Lord and watch him use you in ways that you couldn't have imagined. Because what's in that bad season when you can't see it through, just the unexpected side is so insane. So you just have to trust him. I also encourage you to get a place where you meet with the Lord. For me, it's my bedroom closet. It's kind of weird, but it also helps me keep my closet clean. Which it's not right now, sorry mom. But just establish that place where you sit down, no distractions, you meet with the Lord, you tell him the desires of your heart, and you let him just wrap you in that fatherly love. So with that, I just wanna pray if we would bow our heads. Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your people today. I pray that you would let anyone who needs to receive this message take it in, and I pray that you would heal them. We recognize that you do all things for good, and no matter what we walk through, you will be there to walk with us. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. We praise you for all of your goodness. Amen.
Man, isn't that awesome? Pretty special, huh? You know, the book of Joel, it says this. It says that your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It says that your old generation will dream dreams. And it says that your young generation will have visions. And here's what I want to encourage you with today. Here's what that just speaks in general terms, is that every generation has a role and a contribution and a purpose and a significance in the plans and the purposes of God. And so I want to encourage you today with a couple things as we close the service. And it's, can we just appreciate and value and not take for granted? And can we commit to be intentional in our prayer, in our service, in our giving, in our support, in our words of affirmation, to continue to seek the Lord for the grace to be a church that is multi-generational. And our original pastor, Nick Willems, who I did not have the pleasure of meeting, but he's one of the first guys I'm gonna go find when I get to heaven to pull up a seat and have a conversation with. In a book about the history of our church, he said, for the church to avoid becoming a monument and to remain a movement, we must have fresh winds of the Holy Spirit. And for our church to avoid becoming a monument and continue to be a movement, we must be intentional about handing off the baton to the next generation. Just like Pastor Peter did to me. Literally and spiritually and figuratively, put a baton in my hand and said, I've run my race in this role, now you take it and run your race in this role. So here's the commitment that we have to have for one another is it calls us to lay down our preferences and opinions about how we should do church, how loud the music should be, the programming and the formatting. It causes us to be selfless and to be willing to appreciate some of the ways that maybe it's not exactly how I would do it, but I realize that it's part of how we're doing things so that we can effectively reach and raise up the next generation. And here's the call to you young people, to the next generation. Value and esteem and even pursue the wisdom and the knowledge and the testimonies of the older generation. Sit at their feet and listen to them and allow their stories of God's faithfulness in their life to build your faith for the future and the purposes of God in your life. And so would you allow me to do two things? Would you allow me to just pray over that commitment? And then, in fact, would you go ahead and stand to your feet this morning as we partner together in prayer. And I also want to give people the opportunity today to come home to your Heavenly Father, to experience that void, like Sammy talked about, being filled in your life. And maybe you're here today and that void is caused by your sin, by the shame and the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy uses to try to hold you at arm's length from believing and receiving and knowing that you are loved and have been made right with God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here today and that void is caused by separation, to borrow Sammy's word again. And maybe it's because maybe you've once known God, served God, and loved God, but today, for whatever reason, you find yourself far from Him. Maybe because you've gotten preoccupied with the cares and the things of this world. Or maybe you've made a few choices that have caused you to look up and realize, man, I've drifted from God. And so if that's you, you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, this moment is for you. And if that's you far from God, Jesus told a story, a parable in the Bible about a person like you. And I believe He told that parable so that we would mostly know the posture of the Father towards us when we find ourselves in that condition, distant from God, far from God. The reason I believe that and I share it so frequently is because the Father, it says that when that son had come to his senses, that wayward one, it says the Father saw him from a long ways off, which tells us that that Father was obviously looking for, longing for, eagerly anticipating, and expecting that moment when that wayward one would just take one step back towards the heart and the home of his Father. And it says that that Father, when he saw that wayward one coming home from a long ways off, he ran to him, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his back, embraced him, called the royal festival, said, today we are going to celebrate because the one who was lost and far from home has come back home. So if that's you today, far from God for any reason at all, that's the posture of the Father towards you. His arms are wide open. And there might be some things that you need to settle and straighten out, but right now, His priority is just you, your heart, returning back to His home and into His arms. And so if that's you today, in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, this is your moment. Here's the step I wanna ask you to take. And I want you to lift your hand right now as high and as fast as you can towards your Father. You're not responding to a person or a preacher, you're responding to a Heavenly Father whose arms are open and who's looking for this moment to welcome you back home into a relationship with Him, to forgive you, to wash you clean, to make you new. Every sin, every shame, every regret, every misstep and mistake, fully, completely covered and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Lord, for these mighty men of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're calling these men as sons. You're welcoming them back home into a relationship with you. If you raised your hand, you can lower it. And here's what we want to do today is we want to lead you in a prayer. We want to ask you to pray, but you are not going to be asked to pray it alone. You are going to hear the sound of a church family. You're going to hear the sound of brothers and sisters in Christ coming alongside you and lifting up our voices alongside yours as we lead you in this moment and this significant time in your life. So church, come on, with some amazing guys that came into a relationship with God or came back into a relationship with their father, let's pray this prayer. Pray it maybe with some fresh boldness today. Say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, I will never be the same. And come on, put your hands together, rejoice with all of heaven. Man, I'm just so thankful and grateful. God is alive and he is moving. There is hope. Come on, there's a lot you could look around and you could be concerned about, maybe even rightfully so, but I'm telling you, there, as long as Jesus is moving in the hearts of every generation, there is hope. Someone say amen.